Good morning. It's Friday, September 20th. From the Ryersonian, I'm Karen Sandoval Santana.
And I'm Charlie Buckley.
You're listening to Blue and Gold.
This week, we begin with a special presentation from the Ryersonian. Earlier this week, Ryerson and the journalism community as a whole lost one of their best. Fourth-year journalism student Yusra Javed died following a short illness. Yusra was widely recognized as a rising star at Ryerson and in the industry, as host of the Youth Perspective on Rogers TV, editor-in-chief of New Wave magazine, and an intern in the Queen's Park Press Gallery, along with countless other pursuits. Yusra exemplified the talent, drive, and accomplishments that all of her classmates strive to achieve. We'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you to our friend and colleague, an ambitious young woman whose example will continue to inspire and challenge us for years to come. This week, we take a look back at the legacy Yusra built, and the ways in which she touched the lives of others. On Wednesday, family, friends, and colleagues, both within the university and in the industry, gathered to share stories and memories about Yusra in a memorial organized by the School of Journalism. Hosted by RSJ Chair Janice Neal and Undergraduate Program Director Lisa Taylor, the memorial was an emotional tribute to one of Ryerson's most accomplished and beloved students.
And I want to say in the short time that I knew her, I got so much learning, and I think so many life lessons that OSAP couldn't begin to cover.
Among the speakers was Allison Jones, president of the Queen's Park Press Gallery, who worked with Yusra during her internship.
Yusra was a force. The first time I met her, she nearly knocked me right off my feet by how talented, dynamic, charming, intelligent, enthusiastic, insightful, and friendly she was. One of the stories she told during the interview that I was most impressed by was she said that while covering last year's provincial election for Rogers TV, she was at a campaign stop that Doug Ford did where he wasn't doing any media. And that's pretty common during a campaign to not do interviews at every single stop, but Yusra was apparently having none of it. She said she found his campaign bus at the side of the building and waited there, peppering him with questions when he approached and not stopping until he agreed to do an interview with her. She was just unstoppable through her sheer force of will. With her drive, tenacity, and curiosity, there's no doubt in my mind that she was on her way to becoming one of the best journalists in the country.
Last year, Yusra appeared on an earlier incarnation of this podcast, discussing an article she wrote for the Winter 2019 Engaging with Democracy series. Then hosts Anthony Manrique and Zara Hamoud asked her about her piece, which delved into the disproportionate effects of Ontario Premier Doug Ford's policies on the province's youth.
Writing this article about provincial politics was kind of a no-brainer for me. I interned back in the summer during the provincial elections, and I did a lot of coverage for it. And something that I found particularly interesting back then was the fact that as the PC party was campaigning, they didn't actually put out a platform. Doug Ford obviously made promises of things he'd like to see when he becomes premier, but they had no physical platform of what they were actually going to do. So then that translated a couple months later, where we see all these protests, you know, down at Queen's Park, on Yonge Street, on campuses, of students getting so upset over, you know, the recent OSAP cuts, the recent, even though they're reducing tuition by 10%, people were upset that that's going to affect student life because ancillary fees are no longer mandatory. And I guess it was just putting students in such a vulnerable position. So seeing all of that, I kind of understood that a lot of what the party was saying was the reason for making cuts was because they have this $15 billion deficit that they need to manage. So I know there's this whole idea of people saying that millennials are apathetic, right? We don't show up to the polls. Although there isn't confirmed statistics for the provincial elections, we know that in the 2015 federal elections, there was a 57% voter turnout rate among youth, so 18 to 24-year-olds. And so, unfortunately, that is the highest voter turnout rate we had in the past 20 years, but it's also the lowest voter demographic of any voter demographic in Canada. And so I think something that's interesting to me is the way in which political participation has changed for our generation. we don't see as many youth at the polls, but we're seeing them protest on streets. We're seeing them being the first to go to social media to call, let's say, Doug Ford out about, you know, freezing OSAP loans. So I think political participation is transforming for this generation. So I think it's an idea of politicians and typical politics just being able to keep up with what's popular among youth. I think it's safe to say that because this demographic, youth, I mean, isn't prominent in the polls, that's why they're affected by policy cuts the most, right? If you look federally, one of the only demographics that, you know, rarely see cuts in, and I'm not saying this is a, you know, zero-sum game, you have to cut from one demographic in order for another demographic to prosper, but we're not seeing cuts from, you know, baby boomers or seniors. We're seeing cuts come from our demographic. So obviously this is reflecting based on polls, right? Baby boomers and seniors, they have one of the highest voter turnout rates in the country. So obviously, yes, I understand what you're saying, that maybe politicians aren't catering to young people and they're not inspiring young people to come out and vote. But if we don't put our voice in politics, how do we expect to get heard?
Since the news broke of Yusor's death, there has been an outpouring of support on social media from friends and colleagues, including Premier Doug Ford and Ontario opposition leader Andrea Horvath, as well as members of the Queen's Park Press Gallery. In a tweet, Premier Ford wrote, "My deepest condolences to her family, friends, and colleagues in the press gallery. Yusra was a bright light. She was confident, held her own, and had a very promising future. She will be missed." Horvath added, "On behalf of the NDP caucus, sending our deepest condolences on the sudden passing of Yusra Javed, who made a mark at Queen's Park with her brilliance and optimism." At the memorial on Wednesday, Ryerson School of Journalism Chair Janice Neal announced that this spring, Yusra will receive a posthumous degree, and that she will have a strong presence at convocation.
Also this week on Blue and Gold, we take a look at the beginning of the 2019 federal election. Last week, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau officially requested the dissolution of Parliament and the beginning of the 2019 federal election. For the next 30 days, Canada's political parties will battle it out for votes in Toronto and across the country. Ryersonian reporter Sydney Perlmutter and Evan Cherubini join us to talk about the race, with special focus on our own home riding. Hi, Sydney. Hi, Evan. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
First off, could you take us back to last Wednesday when the election was called?
Our Prime Minister Trudeau, he meets with the Governor General, who's Julie Payette, and he requests to dissolve Parliament. It officially kicks off the campaign season for the federal election. So you might have seen in the last couple months commercials and signs and that sort of thing. So parties are able to campaign. It's called like a soft campaign, but then once the official election campaign begins, there's very strict election finance laws when it comes to advertising and commercials and that. They have to be careful how they spend their money.
Is there anything you'd like to add, Sydney?
Basically, last week we just saw the official launch of the campaign, and now we're getting into the nitty-gritty of it.
What can we expect out of the next few weeks leading up to October 21st?
So as with any election, we have already seen and we're going to be seeing a lot of polls coming out both locally and federally. We're going to be seeing a lot of ads and generally election coverage from pretty much every platform on the daily. And unlike the American presidential campaigns, our campaign this year is relegated to only 40 days, so the candidates have to squeeze in a lot of campaigning in a finite amount of time. We're going to be seeing candidates making announcements about certain policies they want to implement. Federal candidates will also be announcing party candidates for certain ridings that haven't been announced yet. So far, we've seen the four major candidates, so Trudeau, Scheer, Singh, and May. They've been making stops at schools to speak to younger audiences and teachers, campaign rallies and press conferences, pretty much anything they can do to appeal to specific audiences. So essentially in the next few weeks leading up to the election, we're just going to be seeing the spreading of party platforms nationwide and how each candidate will appeal to certain communities, cities, provinces, and the country as a whole.
What do we know about the candidates in Toronto Centre?
So we all focus on the four main sort of candidates because there's a lot of, you know, outlier parties that aren't going to make a difference. So you have obviously the Liberals, the PCs, the NDP, and the Green Party. So starting with the Liberals, you have Bill Morneau. He won in the election 4 years ago, and he was appointed to Trudeau's cabinet as the Minister of Finance. Moving on to the Green Party, their candidate is a woman named Annamie Paul. She's a strong advocate for a sustainable and inclusive future for Toronto. I know she's worked for various nonprofit organizations dedicated to, you know, the LGBTQ community, Indigenous peoples, and racialized people in general. The NDP candidate is Brian Chang. He's kind of built his platform on bringing a new voice into Toronto, you know, government. He wants to help advance sustainable development policy and basically just bring a fresh face to politics. And the final candidate is the PC candidate. His name's Ryan Lester. He actually graduated from Ryerson with a degree in public administration and governance. And he has done a lot of work in the past with charitable organizations dedicated to like homeless youth and all sorts of things. Because of that, I think he wants to help fund sort of nonprofit groups and charitable organizations better so that they can do more. He wants to address the opioid crisis, the HIV crisis from threading needles. He wants to help lower housing costs because we all know that's a big issue in Toronto. And he wants to create new infrastructure to kind of reduce traffic congestion. And overall, it looks like all four candidates have very strong platforms and are obviously very competent and have a lot of experience. So it's kind of a toss-up at this point.
As for our listeners in the neighborhood, where can they go cast their vote?
So for Ryerson students specifically, Elections Canada is making voting really easy and accessible this year by offering advanced polls on campus. So students can vote from October 5th to the 9th at the Student Campus Center at 55 Gould Street. And the best part is that they do not need prior registration. Students that choose to vote this way will only need to bring their student ID with an ID with their address on it, and staff and faculty can also take advantage of this option instead of waiting till election day on October 21st. So for those who aren't Ryerson students but live in the neighborhood, you'll be able to vote at your assigned polling stations that are set up around the area. In order to figure out where your assigned polling station is, you can register to vote online and you'll be sent a mailer called a voter information card with your assigned polling station. And generally, they're set up at public locations such as churches, schools, libraries, or similar institutions. As of right now, I could not find the specific places. I think you have to register first, put your address, and they will tell you on your voter information card where your voting station will be. But I am positive they're going to be very accessible.
Yeah, and it's important to note that these off-campus polling stations are going to get very busy come election time. So if you do have like 5 or 10 minutes, take the time and just go on campus and get it done quick. And then you can just forget about it.
And most of the voting stations too will have early voting as well if you don't want to wait till election day.
Why do you think it's important for people to vote?
Because that's how democracy works. If people don't vote, then, you know, government doesn't know what people want, who they want, or what issues are pertinent. So if you want a healthy, you know, functioning government, then you need to participate. That's kind of in the description of democracy. So a lot of times, like, people won't vote and then complain when the person that they didn't want to get elected gets elected. And it's ironic because if you want somebody in office, then you have to go vote. You have to participate.
I agree. I think a lot of people don't think their votes are going to make a difference in general, but that's not true because if everyone thought that way, then nobody would be voting. And I like the fact that Ryerson is encouraging people to vote and making it so easy. I think the hardest part about voting is just making a solid decision for yourself, but it's definitely worth the time and effort to do so if you want to see the changes you want for Canada.
Yeah, and it's also important to be an educated voter. You want to read up on platforms, see what people are promising, see which, you know, party looks best to you. because the decisions that government makes affects our daily lives incrementally. And so if people, you know, aren't paying attention to which government they put in place, then they're, you know, eventually down the line may get screwed over, or there may be a law or a tax or a change put in place that affects them. And they could have prevented it if they participated. So it's just very important to pay attention.
I agree. Do either one of you have any final thoughts?
I think this is going to be an interesting election. I think, like I said before, there's been a lot of progress in climate change research. I think that's going to be very important when people do choose to go out and vote. So yeah, I think the Green Party only has like 2 or 3 seats in the House of Commons. I may be wrong, but we may see them steal a few more from either the Liberals or the PCs.
Just to add to that, there was a Ipsos poll that came out Monday that showed Trudeau and Scheer locked in a dead heat. And it said, the poll suggested that if the elections were held today, the Liberals and the Conservatives would have the support of about 35% of decided voters. So this is a really, really close election as of right now. And unlike other elections that we've had, I think this will not be sort of a sure thing for either party. So I'm really excited to see the outcome.
Yeah, I just want to encourage everyone to go out and vote if you're, you know, of age. I think it's very important. The first time you vote is usually pretty addicting. Do your research, and that's it. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
Thank you. With voting day fast approaching, the Ryersonian is gearing up for a full month of election coverage. Stay tuned for more out of this year's federal race and what it will mean for Ryersonians, Torontonians, and all Canadians.
It's Blue and Gold, I'm Charlie Buckley. Here's what else we're following this week. On Ryerson campus, students complain that increasing residence prices put additional strain on those affected by OSAP cuts. The school's housing office says the increases are due to inflation and the cost of repairs for some of the older buildings. Late on Wednesday night, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau responded to the release of photos depicting him in brownface as part of a costume for an Arabian Nights-themed party at a Vancouver private school in 2001.
I shouldn't have done that. I should have known better, but I didn't. And I'm really sorry.
Trudeau confirmed that it was him in the photo and apologized for what he described as a racist act. Backlash on social media, as well as from his opponents in the election, has been severe since Time magazine published the photos on Wednesday. 2 more instances of him in blackface makeup have been uncovered, one in a high school talent show and another in a video uncovered by Global News. And finally, businesses and governments around the world are preparing for the Global Climate Strike, an international collection of regional strikes to protest perceived under-response to the climate change crisis. Toronto's own strike begins at 11 a.m. on September 27th. That's all for this week's Blue and Gold. Catch up with us next week for more of your community's top stories. Blue and Gold is a production of the Ryersonian and the Ryerson School of Journalism. Our host is Karen Sandoval-Santana, executive producing by me, additional reporting by Zara Hamoud and Anthony Manrique, Kevin Tagabon, Amanda Pope, Adrian Bueno, Evan Cherubini, Sydney Perlmutter, and Samantha Moya. Our editor-in-chief is Maria Seru, managing editor Juliana Perkins, instructors Peter Baco George and H.G. Watson. Graphics by Aria De Lima and Sophie Diego. Special thanks to Angela Glover, Lindsay Hanna, Daniela Oleru, and Gary Gould, as well as Lisa Taylor, Janice Neal, Allison Jones, and the Javed family. Music this week provided by WeStar. My name is Charlie Buckley. Thanks for listening.